Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Into right center field. This ball's going to be down and all the way to the wall. Baldy's going to clear the bases. Astros are pouring out of the dugout like they won the game as Baldy clears the bases with a double.
Dusty Baker's got some brass balls. That was quite the decision last night to leave Martin Maldonado in for what eventually turned into the go-ahead bases-loaded double in the eighth inning as the Astros took down the Texas Rangers last night. It is Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa up in Indianapolis for pre-Indy 500 festivities. So for a little special today, if you've been listening to me for a while, you might remember this voice because we used to be the dynamic duo of the Gallant at Night radio program. Except for he wasn't credited. Now, Josh Beard, you are sitting across from me as a co-host, finally. And we have not hosted a show together in like 6 years. So.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. You were just like, hey, how old is your son? Is he 8 now? No, he's 11. You missed a couple years there, man.
This is what happens when you're not turning into an adult, when you remain a man-child. You're like, oh, yeah, children get older. They don't just stay the same age over all of these times. But I'm very happy to have you with me, Josh, my radio brother. I want to start with the Houston Astros before we start talking about your cult and the comments that they have been making in response to what Nick Saban had to say. But what do you think about load management in sports?
I'm a fan of it. I like load management. I know when we think about load management, I think the NBA is most prevalently known for load management. NFL is like, you're going to get a concussion and die before we bench you. but the NBA is really well known for it. Obviously, baseball, load management's been a part of that game. Like, people don't think about baseball with load management, but it's been the game that has practiced load management for the longest time. The NBA is kind of behind on it, but I think it's great. I think you rest your best players. Especially in an 82-game, 162-game season, that's a lot of sports to play, especially with guys that are like, look, I'm 35. I'm about to turn 36 in less than a month, and I feel literally every part of my body. Like, my knees are just, it's like bags of marbles that I'm walking on.
Ow.
Yeah, so, like, you think about, like, guys that are in their 30s who are, yeah, they're professional athletes, but they still have to deal with the dings and the random stuff like that, the pains. Give them a day of rest. Let them sit and take a break, and then they'll be fresh and good to go. I like load management.
Fair enough. When it comes to the Houston Astros, though, it has been interesting this year to see how they have load managed. And if we are looking for things to critique on a team that will likely make it to the American League Championship Series for a sixth year in a row, one of the things that a lot of people have been highlighting has been that Dusty Baker has been extremely generous when it comes to giving off days. And, you know, we saw it with Ryan Pressly until last night. Ryan Pressly's barely pitched since coming back from the injured list with the knee inflammation on May 4th, which is pretty surprising considering that the team is playing 33 games in 34 days. Yep. And that on that road trip they were on, the relievers pitched almost half of the innings, like 31 and two-thirds of 78. So you're not seeing a lot of Ryan Pressly, but he comes in last night. And then also, Yuli Gurriel got the day off. Michael Brantley got the day off. With those two guys both having the day off, Dusty Baker chose not to pinch hit for Martin Maldonado with the bases loaded, which, by the way, I would have 100%. And the move ended up being correct.
Right.
I look at this and I get a little frustrated, Josh Beard, with the load management that's going on. And I'm glad that Dusty Baker ultimately made the right decision. Hindsight is, of course, 20/20. But if I were in that spot, I would have pinch hit. If I were in that spot, honestly, I don't know that I'd be giving both of those guys the day off at the same time either. The Astros have a good lineup. They got some good guys on the bench. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever the case, I am just getting a little annoyed with the way that Dusty Baker manages things. And I think if there's one thing to critique about the Astros thus far, it's that he is very generous with those off days.
The one thing that I do like, and yeah, I actually do think he's a little, like, I do like guys taking days off. I do like load management, but Dusty is a little bit loose with it. The one thing with Ryan Pressly is the bullpen's just been so great that he has the luxury of giving Pressly that extra rest.
That's
right?
True.
And when Presley's been in there, he's been awesome. So it's like, okay, let's keep awesome Pressly, let him rest a little bit more, especially like I think 33 games in 34 days is the perfect time to have a little bit more load management.
That's true, but at the same time, like, Presley actually wanted to pitch a little bit more.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't know if this guarantees that players for the Astros will actually be healthy later in the year. I get the idea of load management, but I feel like injuries are just random fluke accidents,
yes,
and you can't decrease the probability of an injury taking place necessarily, unless maybe with arms and you're not having a guy throw a ton of innings. But I feel like those injuries are so random, and the idea that if you play a guy less, they are not going to get hurt, I guess.
See, I totally disagree with that, especially in baseball. I think because you're doing the same motions over and over and over and over, there's that repeated wear and tear. There's that wear down. Think about just going to the gym and lifting weights, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to the gym and you lift weights every single day, at some point there's a negative feedback. There's going to be an attrition to what you're doing because you're not giving your body that day to rest. You're not giving your body time to take a break and say, okay, I, you know, when you go do biceps, do you do biceps every single day?
No.
You do it 4 or 5 days in a row?
No, I do it 2 days a week.
Right. You do it, but you give yourself time in between those days to give yourself a rest, right? It's the same thing. These guys are doing these repeated motions, the swings from their hips, from their shoulders, from their legs, with a throw on their shoulders, on their arms, on their elbows. It gives them a chance to take a little bit of a break. So I think the perfect time for load management is right now. The one thing I love about Dusty letting Martin Maldonado have that chance last night and not pinch hitting him, which I would have done the same thing. This is why Dusty is, I want to say he's ahead of us. Dusty's the guy. He's making right decisions. But like, it's like when somebody takes a bad shot in a basketball game and you're like, that's a horrible shot. And it goes in and people are like, look.
Every mark a smart shot.
Yeah, exactly. But I do like that Dusty trusts his guys. And I think that goes a long way for the mentality and for the psychology of the players themselves, where it's like, okay, Dusty trusts me in this spot to make something happen. I'm Martin Maldonado. I typically don't make a lot happen, but hell if I'm not going to do it right now.
It worked.
Yep.
So can't dump on him. All I'm saying is it's something that has been noteworthy thus far, but I understand the points that you're making, those repetitive motions. I would just say it is baseball. We're not talking about football. We're not talking about basketball. You know,
that's the scariest one, though. Like, I think football is more the freak accident stuff because
car crashes every play.
Yeah, exactly. You have no idea when it's going to hit a knee or the random chance of like, oh, all of a sudden my ACL popped and nobody touched me, right? But I think in baseball, because you're repeating the same motion so often and so much, and it's not even just in the game, it's during warmups, it's during BP, stuff like that. It can wear a guy. Look, I'm a guy, just getting up in the morning and out of my bed is tough for me. It takes me like 5 minutes to be able to stand up straight because my lower back is in such bad shape now. Like, just walking normally, I'm like, man, I walked for 15 minutes. I need to take a break in a chair right now. This is the repeated motion of walking. I think I have hip dysplasia. What's happening?
Oh, God, I do not want to be 3 years older than me. Like, you are, by the way. It's
great
to be the young guy again.
Yeah, I'm older and I'm fat. That's the problem, though. Like, you're in shape. I think you got like an extra couple of years before everything starts breaking down.
It's not going to break down.
Yeah, it's going to break down
point. It's shut up.
For sure breaking
down. No, it's
not. 100%.
No, I will commit seppuku if that happens. No, the shame the shame would be too much. I will never be like that.
You bring dishonor on your family.
I have body shamed too many people to ever have my body look like that. I can't. I can't. Seriously, there's like people that call me out on it all the time. I'm done. I have to jump out of this window right here. That's it.
I don't think your body will ever look like mine. It's a lot of sad cake eating and like hidden Panda Express dates in the car.
The last week, I have been a bad little boy. I haven't gone to the gym.
Have you been eating Oreos?
No, I've been staying away from those. In case you don't know, I eat the entire boxes of Oreos while I'm driving home from the grocery store. Yeah, and then I puke it up afterwards. Yeah. He's Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, I'm really glad that Josh is here because Josh is an Aggie. And it has been really interesting to see what's taken place over the course of the past 24 to 48 hours, where first off, you have Nick Saban making some comments about how Texas A&M is giving every single player the bag and not doing things the right way. We played some of Jimbo Fisher's comments yesterday, and honestly, we didn't even play this cut because there were so many gems that came from his press conference. Jimbo Fisher firing back like this at Nick Saban was delicious.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
It's so good, dude. I love it so much.
You're big team Jimbo now.
I still have my reservations about Jim. I've always loved Jimbo the personality. I've loved Jimbo the guy. Like, I think there's a lot to like about him as a leader. I think he does a good job in the recruiting. There's always been a bit of Jimbo, even as an Aggie fan. I know, the guys, don't kill me. No Aggie.
He's not
hate
wearing
right
his
now,
Aggie
right?
ring, by the way.
I leave it at home on my effigy. Thank you very much. Mm. Anyway, there's always been like a little bit
some
of
Aggie.
There's been a little bit of a snake oil salesman aspect to Jimbo Fisher.
That's
right?
Every college football coach,
yeah,
though.
You have to be. I think you have to be to a certain extent. But I have my issues with his contract is a little bit long. Can he actually get it done against some of the best coaches? Can they actually win?
Did against Saban last year.
He did. But the real question is, can he win a national championship? Well, you come out and you get the number one recruiting class. That's a pretty good indicator that, hey, maybe there's a national championship or at least a college football playoff in the future for the Aggies. But yesterday is the most I've ever loved Jimbo Fisher as an Aggie fan. That was
the most.
Yeah, because he immediately came out to the defense of his players and his coaches. Like, if you listen to the full soundbite, he called the press conference. And he's like, I want to apologize to my coaches who work their asses off to be able to do what they do. I want to apologize to my players who do things the right way and have worked hard to get to the place that they're at. And he apologized to the fans, too. Maybe that made me feel a little bubbly and warm inside, you know, sunshines and rainbows. But I think this was a good move by Jimbo to come out and come to the defense of his staff and his players to say, no, we earned this. We didn't beat you last year because we paid the refs off. We beat you last year because we were better than you, and you sucked in that game, Nick. And I love Jimbo doing that. So I think this is the moment where I'm really officially starting to kind of fall in love with Jimbo, and I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with a decade of this guy at the helm.
On the other side, I want to know if Josh Beard or any Aggie out there thinks that for the first time since Hugh Freeze did it with Ole Miss, that someone can beat Nick Saban in back-to-back years. Also, another college football coach took shots at Nick Saban. You will hear those comments and a very weak back down by Nick Saban as well. Next, it's Vanessa and Gallant with Josh Beard in for Vanessa, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The song is garbage. Let It Be record.
Garbage?
This song is garbage.
Wow. Very anti-Texan of you.
People have told me to listen to other Pantera songs.
They're all great.
I refuse to, because this one is just the worst.
That's the least Texan thing I've ever heard you say.
Wow.
You clearly don't have respect for Pantera.
No, I don't. No.
R.I.P., by the way.
I'm not going to say what I was thinking.
Holding back. I see.
I'm just glad that the band can't hurt us anymore. That's all I'm trying to say.
I'm playing Pantera during every break on Spotify for the rest of the show.
Anyway, Nick Saban is the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Josh Beard is sitting in for Vanessa Richardson. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5. This is the most mealy-mouthed, weak response that I thought was possible from Saban. And Sean and I talked about this yesterday. Sean Mapes behind the glass. We both expected a pathetic response from this from Nick Saban, right? Yeah, Sean's nodding his head. So here is what Nick Saban had to say.
I should have never really singled anybody out. You know, that was a mistake, and I really apologize for that part of it. But I'm not against name, image, and likeness. I think it's a great thing for players. You know, our players made a lot of money last year and name, image, and likeness. But, you know, I told our players to, you know, get an agent, get representation, you know, make what you can make. Players have always been able to work, and I think that's a good thing.
I love how at the end he's like, yeah, the players.
Yeah.
It's great for them. Also, everything I said, maybe I shouldn't have singled individual programs out.
It's such a smart move. The whole thing is such a smart move by Nick Saban. Of course that was going to be the response, and it's the best response he could have gotten. Did he know that Jimbo wasn't going to pick up? Because he tried calling Jimbo Fisher after the fact.
Yes, he did.
Did he know that Jimbo wasn't going to pick up? Absolutely. Did he know Dion wasn't going to want to do a one-on-one personal conversation between the two? Of course he did. This was a genius move by Nick Saban, because he goes out, he rails against this program. He rails against, oh, you know, we can't afford that. We can't do that. Oh, but Texas A&M over there. I've done this so many times as a kid with my brother, with friends. Oh, boy. You think I threw them under the bus and the wall? Oh, I'm really sorry, man. I didn't mean to do that. That's my bad. Genius move by Nick Saban. It's infuriating. It's annoying, but it's genius.
Interesting, because you mentioned Jimbo Fisher was called by Nick Saban. Here is what Jimbo had to say about that call.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
Good.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
I love it.
And then I just wanted
to. You got all so the advantages. Much,
like that's the exact attitude I want from Jimbo.
You want him to have that energy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, because now think about how intense that, like, coming from a fan standpoint, coming from a lover of college football and a lover of viewing college football, how intense that Texas A&M Alabama game is going to be this mm-hmm. year. It's going to be awesome. And if Texas A&M does find a way to beat them again, oh my God, it's going to be great. Because then what's the narrative that's going to come out of that?
Well, Texas A&M paid for that victory over the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Or and Jimbo's going to be like, no, they didn't. I'm done with you. We're done. You're done. Get out of here. You're fired. Like, it's going to be awesome. I love that response by Jimbo, because especially, like, he's calling out the school that Jimbo represents. And I think the thing that I love about it the most is that makes me feel better about Jimbo's long-term prospects in College Station. It makes me feel like he's found a home there, he's built a culture there, and he believes in Texas A&M, and he's going to stay there for a really long time. Because if it's one thing College Station needs, it needs some continuity from the coaching position, right? But I love it from the standpoint of, like, he's got his players' backs, and his players are going to fall in love with a guy who's going to get their backs no matter what, even if it means he has to be the Jesus Christ to Nick Saban, Satan.
Nick Saban is Satan.
Yeah.
Classic Aggie take right there. It was interesting reading this morning. There's a piece in The Athletic that details the relationship between Saban and Fisher and why Fisher and Saban don't see eye to eye when maybe some of Saban's other assistants have. And generally, the theme has been that offensive minds have clashed with Saban because Saban wants to have a lot of control over things. He is defensive-minded. And Jimbo, who is very much a acolyte of the Bobby Bowden, Terry Bowden, all the Bowdens school going from Florida State and all those other years. I think he was at Samford, I think, with Terry Bowden back in the day playing for him. And apparently, things were adversarial between the two because Jimbo wanted to be able to do more offense and Saban wanted to stick things defensively. So you can kind of understand how things get even more heated when Jimbo's trying to build his own thing. He's already been competitive on this same team with Saban in the past, and he's going at things like this. But he's not the only person that weighed in on what Nick Saban had to say, because Deion Sanders in Jackson State also caught some strays. So Deion Sanders was also reached out to by Nick Saban. Saban said this in an article with Andscape. I haven't talked to Coach Saban. I'm sure he's tried to call. We need to talk publicly, not privately. What you said was public. That doesn't require a conversation. Let's talk publicly and let everybody hear the conversation. You're nodding your head. Why?
Yeah, because look, if somebody's going to call me out in public and then try to have a private conversation, well, I don't need them to blow fluffies up me. Like, I need them to talk to me openly and publicly. Deion, like, here's the thing: if Nick Saban were like that with me, and you know how I am, like, I'm a wall to wall counseling type of guy. Like, if I have an issue with somebody, I've been fired from jobs because of attacking people on social media. Not anymore, Mom. I stopped doing that. But I'm a wall to wall counseling kind of guy. If you got something to say about me, come and say it to me.
And we've done
right?
it before. Yeah. We generally get along great. But,
yeah.
But we've had shouting matches before.
Oh, we have.
Yeah.
Some big ones.
Yeah.
And dude, look, I'm fine with it because I know how to compartmentalize those feelings. It's not, but you're not going to sit there and call me out and call my program out publicly and then privately be like, oh, it's just making an appointment.
Yeah.
No, do that publicly. We're not playing those games. You don't know me like that, Nick. Like, if I'm Deion Sanders, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you don't know me like that, Nick. No, if you're going to call me out publicly, we're going to talk publicly, and you're going to apologize publicly.
Saban looks like a total wuss, like, the entire way through. You make this comment, and Deion Sanders made a good point about what Saban might have been trying mm-hmm. to do here, and Sean Mapes behind the glass brought this up yesterday, too. Coach Saban wasn't talking to me. Coach Saban wasn't talking to Jimbo Fisher. He was talking to his boosters. He was talking to his alumni. He was talking to his givers. He was trying to get money. That was what he was doing. He was just using us to get where he was trying to get to. Deion Sanders, very clairvoyant, like Professor Mapes behind the glass.
Coach Prime and Coach Alpha? I don't know.
Coach God.
Coach Omega?
Prime versus God.
Yeah, no, one of the many things that Deion Sanders and I see eye to eye on.
Yeah, You guys like are known to have a lot
I'm
of mistake
part of the,
takes.
I'm part
a lot
of the
things.
Deion Sanders coaching tree is what I'm saying.
I've never seen you wearing a bandana before, though. You know, that's the next step. You know, bandana with the long hair as opposed to the hat.
I do have some bandanas. So okay. Maybe I incorporate that during the summer.
I'll bring in a bandana for you. I'll bring in a Texas A&M bandana. Okay. A nice block tee would look real good. No, you don't want that?
No, okay. No. He's real UT. So, I mean, we could have some acrimony.
Oh, here. I know.
I tend to lean UT because I'm an elitist jackass. So,
right. And you like the color of puke. That's fine. Yeah.
What? You guys are like orange. You guys are like a
maroon? Like the color of blood? The color of darkened blood on the ground? We're military, baby.
What color? Wait, hang on a second. No, because first off, the military thing that you guys do not wear maroon when you're marching around. You look an awful lot like something
like
else
the
that we
military?
Saw.
Like the military? Yeah, that's what we look like?
They don't be wearing beige. There's only one people I can remember wearing beige back in the day. That's just me. Anyway, I want to go.
Lawyers?
No, I'm not going to dump it out on the air, okay? If you know history, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't want me to go any further, I'm not going to go any further.
The workers of the industrial era.
Yeah, sure. You age. Can say whatever you want to say on right. that one to try to move on. I'm going to move on to this one. Last topic. Deion Sanders going further in this interview. I don't even wear a watch, and I know what time it is. They forget I know who's been bringing the bag and dropping it off. I know this stuff. I'm not the one you want to play with when it comes to all this stuff. This is the point that I think he made that is the best one. Once upon a time, the bag was just a bag. Now there's equality among the big boys. We, and I think he's talking about Jackson State, don't have those types of bags. We don't have the boosters and donors and givers. Leave me out of that mess y'all got going on. And I think that's a fair point because Sanders is doing this essentially on his own, which is the cool thing about the Deion Sanders movement. And I love it because I love to see certain college football fan bases lose their minds. Florida State, kick rocks. One of the most insufferable online communities that there are. And it's great that they have been beaten down into submission and have sucked the last couple of years because they're mad that, like, Deion Sanders is taking away alumni from Florida State. Mm-hmm. But Deion doesn't know Florida State bleep. Florida State owes Deion more because he is still the focal point and the most distinguished alumni from the Seminoles.
Well, here's the thing. The player that Nick Saban brought up that went to Jackson State with an NIL deal. Yes, there's an NIL deal involved. But he's also a DB. Like, you don't think that a DB wants to learn from one of the greatest corners of all time to play in the NFL? Like, hey, Deion Sanders, how do I play defensive back? How do I play corner in the NFL? There's definitely an aspect of that. So it's ridiculous and disingenuous. And I love that he said, I know what time it is. The bag used to be the bag. Well, like, he's essentially saying, Nick, you're punching down. Why are you punching down on us right now? We don't compete against you. You're freaking Alabama. You win national championships year after year after year after year. Jimbo knows you're football god. We all worship at the altar of Nick Saban. Don't punch down on me right now, man.
That is Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. And Travis Hunter's the corner you're talking about who committed to Jackson State. He tweeted out, I got $1 million, which is what Saban had indicated, but my mom's still staying in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids. And he laughs at it. And Deion Sanders retweeted it. I mean, look, it is one of those situations where I think Saban was talking out of his ass, and Sanders, I think, had it right when he said that this is something that he was doing essentially to beg. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor.
Alms for the poor.
I'm Alabama. We need money. Up next on Paul Gallant, it is Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I have been very much Team Jimbo Fisher in this. There is one last little piece of this story that needs to be shared because it just shows the Aggies are a cult. And speaking of terrible fan bases... He's not responding to it.
I'm not listening to you.
Okay,
good. I'm not going to listen to you at all whenever you say this.
Okay, speaking of terrible fan bases, who actually has the worst fan base? Because Charles Barkley was going to war with one of them a couple of days ago. We'll talk about that next, too.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa on a well-deserved vacation. She's had a lot going on over the last month. So she's up in Indianapolis for the Indy 500, I think, pre-celebration. I don't know how it works up in Indianapolis. As I think most people are aware, I still... do not ever want to find myself in Indianapolis, but, you know, good for Vanessa. Josh Beard is sitting in for Vanessa, and Josh is a Texas A&M Aggie. And look, Josh, we've been talking about Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban for the majority of this morning. This is where Texas A&M needs to shut up.
No.
Texas A&M athletic director Ross Bjork told Ross Dellinger of SportsIllustrated.com that Bjork has spoken with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey regarding the possibility that Saban violated conference sportsmanship bylaws. Bjork called Saban's comments, quote, a personal attack on the school and the coach. Bjork also believes that Saban could be reprimanded for his words, saying, I don't know why Nick Saban would say what he said, except he's threatened. There is a saying, an emperor who loses their dynasty lashes out. He seems to be making excuses. This is personal. Coach Fisher views this as a personal attack on his integrity and on Texas A&M's integrity. To have personal attacks, to say that the only reason A&M is recruiting well is NIL money, is wrong. Quickly, before I let you respond, right, Josh, this is embarrassing. This is why people who are UT fans will always call Texas A&M little brother, because this is insecurity. I get it. What Nick Saban said, kind of hypocritical. What Nick Saban said, also when he backs down, looks extremely wussy. But I feel like Jimbo Fisher said everything that needed, yes, to be said. Now you got the athletic director tattling to the SEC. Like, that is the kind of stuff that is why a lot of people find Aggies to be a little extra sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Ross Bjork's a great athletic director. I just don't, I think sometimes when he does things like this, it is a little insufferable, right? A little overly insufferable. You know, okay, so the big talk right now has been Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC and the SEC moving to this pod system, right? Which would be four pods with four teams each, 16 teams total in the conference. And Ross Bjork came out, he's like, well, we just don't want Texas in the pod with us.
See, even you're making fun of Ross Bjork.
But he did say, he's like, we definitely want to play Texas every year, but that's not what people took away from him. He's like, well, we don't want Texas in our pod.
See?
When he says it, he sounds like a bit of a baby.
Okay,
he sounds, yeah, he's... I have my issues with Ross Bjork. I do think he's incredible for all the athletics programs. I think he's been great for the football program. He was instrumental in bringing Jimbo in and keeping Jimbo happy. But you're so right. Jimbo literally said everything that needed to be said. The rivalry was set. The tension was there. Jimbo said, nah, he's football god. We don't give a crap about him. I'm going to poop all over that football god. He's doing all this despicable stuff. And then that's it. Leave it at that. But then Ross Bjork's like, well, I'm going to go see their stations. It's just annoying.
I one time got in a one-on-everybody debate with my friends, and it wasn't a debate. I just basically said, like, UT and A&M.
Just yelling at people again?
No, I just said, like, UT and A&M are meow, because they don't play each other, and yeah, they don't want to play each other. And then everyone got mad at me, and I was like, okay. And I actually left because I got so pissed off. I was like, you guys are giant, like, babies. Like, you can't play each other. Just play each other.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, all right, I'm leaving. Now, I was pissed off, and I mean, I stormed out because I was like, you're not listening to me. I'm calling you out for not playing each other. I don't understand why that's, like, so hard for you to understand. Because it's both UT, yes, and A&M, and then they throw these little barbs at each other, like, well, it's the other side.
It's both sides.
Yeah.
It's 100%. But my brother
it's crazy, like, they haven't played in a decade.
My brother and I don't have a lot of, like, we're brothers. We crap talk each other, right? We don't have a lot of conversations where we're not crap talking each other. The only time where we have conversations where we're, like, pretty in line is when we talk about the reasoning why A&M and UT don't play each other. He's a Longhorn, I'm an Aggie, and we're both like, dude, both sides suck on this. We just want to play these games. But they seem both seem so whiny, all, and they're always, yeah, like, oh, it's scheduling it. Well, we scheduled this team 7 years from
we're
now.
We're focused, and then, like, Texas, we're focused on playing basketball games in,
yeah,
China.
And then Texas A&M's like, we're focused on badminton because that's what we're good at. It's the worst.
Josh Beard is in for Vanessa. I'm Paul Gallant. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Charles Barkley has been on Inside the NBA for as long as I can remember. He, yep, did a great podcast with Ryan Russillo the other day. I encourage you to check it out. That's one of those podcast interviews where Barkley is aware of who Russillo is, and it was a nice, good-natured back and forth. I really enjoyed it. And in that podcast, he talked about how much he hates Golden State Warriors fans. This was before the series even tipped off. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Charles Barkley was very dismissive of the Warriors early on in their run back in 2015. Well, during Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals on TNT, between your Dallas Mavericks, Josh, yep, Beard, and the Golden State Warriors,
they got pooped on.
Charles Barkley was getting pooped on by the Golden State, yeah, Warrior crowd, which, first off, led to this moment where Charles actually engaged them in the midst of the TNT broadcast.
They're going to have to make them. I thought they got great shots in the first half. They just did not go in.
But the one thing we have learned during the playoffs, you go back to Milwaukee-Boston game one, you go back to Dallas against Phoenix game one, nobody's going to overreact to the game. Hey, you're right, and y'all suck too.
A man can only take so many of
those. I love doing that.
My favorite part was they would zoom over to Shaq. And Shaq was like leaning behind. Yeah. He's like, keep it up. It was great. I mean, that show is awesome. And I just like that Charles Barkley, who is definitely having fun when he says things like this, went even a little bit further during a commercial break. Way further.
Leave me alone. I'm going to have to f*** your mama.
Incredible.
So good, dude.
So it got me thinking, we don't interact with a lot of Golden State Warrior fans here. Like, specifically here. I always liked Golden State during the prime years of the Rockets, but I just like the way that they play basketball compared to the way that the Rockets play basketball. People got mad at me, whatever. I can take it. When it comes to, though, the most annoying fan bases in sports, I don't see enough Warriors fans to, like, really, outside of, like, the clearly bandwagons, the Warriors slash Yankee slash, I guess it would be Patriots slash like just the one who's on every single championship perennial contender.
I have somebody in my family that's like that. Yeah.
Oh no. Who?
Yeah. He's, I'm not going to divulge names or anything, but he's a Red Sox, Duke, Heat fan and a Dolphins fan. He used to be.
Oh, Dolphins is, you know, the Dolphins are terrible.
No. He's a Dolphins fan because of Tua now. He was a Patriots fan and then he was a Cowboys fan. When I met him, he was a Packers fan.
Oh,
he was a J.J. Redick fan, so he was a Clippers, 76ers.
I know who you're talking about.
And now he likes the Heat because of Tyler Hero. I love him to death, but he's a player fan and just the amount of loyalty he's thrown around to a multitude of different teams.
So that fan is always annoying. Yeah. The one who's jumping from bandwagon to bandwagon.
Trust the process, baby.
You could argue I've done the same thing, and I'll fully admit it with the Houston Astros. I totally have. But the question that we have for you, and it's at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Warriors fans are something, but who really is, to you, the most annoying sports fan base? Josh, you will give your answer on the other side. Sean Mapes will hear from you, too. And I want to hear from you guys, twitch.tv/ESPN975 as well. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant with Josh Beard in for Vanessa on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Josh Beard in for Vanessa. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Worst talk show host in terms of speaking English, Paul Gallant.
Oh, it's okay. Let's rewind. You're good now.
The most annoying fan base in sports, just kickstarted by Charles Barkley going back and forth with Golden State Warriors fans. I want to hear who each of the other people in the room think is the most annoying fan base in sports. Let's start off with Josh.
Does it have to be professional sports?
It can be any sport. Because one Twitch commenter said the parents of Spelling Bee kids are the worst fans in sports.
Little League parents. Little League baseball parents, hands down, not even close. You know how many... You know, I was at my son's playing in his Little League championship game tomorrow, And I could be a little. This is my first year not coaching. Why do you keep dropping your phone all over?
It's
the
got
place?
An OtterBox. It's fine.
This is the first year that I'm not coaching. Surprise! They make it to the championship game in the first season that I'm not coaching one of his teams. Awesome, makes me feel great.
Ewing theory.
But I heard somebody, a parent on the other side of one of the playoff games that he just played in a couple weeks ago, say easy out to an 11-year-old kid. This is a grown up saying easy out to an 11-year-old. No,
you gotta let
that's
him know.
Awful. Listen,
hard realities are good, and everyone in this particular. Participation trophy generation.
Gotta learn that lesson early.
There are so many kids who just are constantly being told by their parents that they're incredible athletes. And you know what? Someone's got to step in.
No.
I got
unacceptable.
I made
that's
someone,
the 10th man advantage in Little League right there.
Yeah, Sean, thank you. You need to have that home field advantage from time to time. You know what's funny? So one, my cousin was playing in a JV high school game for Strake a couple of years ago, really long time ago. And I'm in the stands and I'm watching, and my uncle and my aunt are sitting next to me. And the team that they were playing was winning. I forget who it was. And there's like less than a minute left in the game. And these morons decide to throw a pass, and it gets intercepted by Strake, who takes it in for a touchdown, and they win. Like and they were losing in the last minute, and they throw the ball. And I spent like the next like 2 minutes to anyone who would listen. I was like, that's just the stupidest play call I've ever freaking seen. And I was calling the coaches out on that situation.
But it was after the game too. That's not not in the moment with a parent sitting there, another parent going like, easy out here.
That's totally fair.
No, that's awful.
I was saying it, my uncle was like, Paul, stop. Like, cause the other schools, parents were there.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry. Paul, they know it too. They know it too. Sean, most annoying sports fan base.
Yeah, we'll go from Little League parents to a team that plays in a Little League ballpark. I got to go New York Yankees.
Yeah.
You mentioned it during one of the breaks while talking about the Celtics, how you don't claim 18 rings. That's very polite of you. I wish Yankees fans had the same grace, especially the ones my age that have seen one championship.
Yeah. Because they were probably toddlers for the ones that were in, 99, 2000 at that point. Because what was it, like 97, 98, 99, 2000? I forget what it was. I think the Marlins won one in between all of those at some point, too. Yeah, you're right. Yankee fans, definitely a good one. Look, I will follow the show with mine.
Yeah.
Patriots fans, so annoying. We are so
annoying. I like the self-awareness.
Well, look, and especially it helps having left Boston and seeing it from afar and also seeing how people respond to it. So I have toned it down a lot, which is saying something, because you can imagine how awful I was then.
Yeah.
I know you brought up before the show, it's because you don't have Tom Brady anymore. That's true. I can't quite be as condescendingly arrogant as I used to be able to. But the problem that I have with this, and this is the problem I also have with some Astros fans, of which I have jumped on the bandwagon of, you don't know how to embrace being hated.
Yeah.
No one is ever going to like you. Stop trying to make everybody like you. Stop getting mad when people don't like you. No one is ever going to like you. They all think that you are evil. They think you are cheaters. So rub it in their face. Yeah, we cheated and got away with it.
Yeah.
They all think that you win too much, that your team is boring. You do not need to be liked.
The biggest indicator of that for anybody of all time should be the other night whenever you had Boston fans being like, oh, Jeremy Pena is just a cheater. He's just a damn cheater. That Alex Cora is sitting there in the dugout as the manager of the Red Sox is like, oh, get these cheaters off of my get them out of my ballpark. Like,
that's not a bad Boston accent.
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah, I watch a lot of Boston stand-up comics, so it's rubbed off on me. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you even got like the high pitch going on. Yeah, we're trying to beat Bill Burr?
That's literally years of me sitting next to you listening to you talk.
Shut up. I do not have an accent. I'm offended by that. Every once in a while
it comes out. You don't have an accent.
It's the O-R noise. I can't like sound that out. I always say R.
Like
I'm a pirate. Yeah. text in 713-780-3776. We're talking about the most annoying fan bases because Charles Barkley dealing with Golden State Warriors fans a couple of nights ago was pretty funny. Cowboys, Yankees, Dodgers, writes one texter. Oh, yep. I mean, that's the triumvirate.
Can I pick one professional fan base that I don't, and I don't really have the ties to them, like people who grew up watching the Rockets and in the city of Houston have. Jazz fans are the worst. Like, from professional,
yeah.
I cannot stand Utah Jazz. The Mavericks just went through that series with them, and you saw those fans were being insufferable. People who grew up watching the Rockets, my wife talks about, like, she hates the Jazz and Jazz fans with a passion because of those times.
That is consistent in every place that I have lived that has a Western Conference basketball team.
They're
people
awful.
In Seattle hate the Jazz, and they don't even have basketball anymore.
Yeah,
they would bring that up all the time. Like, we hate, and it's probably because of the Malone Stockton years, because Stockton was low key dirty, you know, and it's one of those things where he was able to get away with it because everyone seemed to like him. But Stockton was actually a dirty player. As far as other teams in the Western Conference, you guys brought this up to me before the show, and honestly, I don't think I've ever met a fan of this team. But Sean and Josh, you guys brought up the San Antonio Spurs before the show.
Dude, the San Antonio Spurs of the late 90s, early 2000s were as insufferable as Patriots fans.
Oh, like, God, and they were local, too.
Oh, we got Pop, we got Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. How can you beat? And
the worst part is watching the Spurs on the floor, and they had, like, Bruce Bowen playing, like, he was playing, like, good minutes because he was such a good defender, but he couldn't hit a three to save his life, right? And
also a dirty player, dude, arguably. I like Bruce Bowens of the world.
I have so much respect for that Spurs dynasty. I really do. And I loved the style of basketball that they played, even though, like, today it would be considered a little bit boring because it's a lot of passing, a lot of ball movement and stuff like that. But I have a lot of respect for them. I have a lot of respect for Pop. But Spurs fans were just absolutely awful.
Yeah. Again, I have so much respect for Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich. I have zero respect for Spurs fans. They are the absolute, because it's all the winning, and it comes with the air of, well, we're just a scrappy little underdog team.
Oh my God.
And it's like,
yeah,
you drafted one of the top, like, 10 players of all time. Like, that's what this all started from. You're not doing things any better. You just drafted Tim Duncan.
Well, and the other bad part about Spurs fans is they literally, quite literally, have nothing else to cheer for in their town, right? Like, in San Antonio, they're either Cowboys or Texans fans. They're either
mostly
Rangers
Cowboys.
Or mostly Cowboys. Yeah, they're either Rangers or Astros fans.
I imagine mostly Astros.
Mostly, but they don't. That's the only professional team they have. So all the love that they would give to an NFL team and an MLB team, it all goes towards the Spurs and just creates this horrible storm of awfulness.
I can see that.
Poop fan base. Sorry, Spurs fans.
Well, it's interesting coming from a Mavericks fan.
Okay,
because you guys are getting very chirpy. I mean, you guys got your faces stuffed in with Andrew Wiggins completely shutting down Luka Doncic.
One game.
I know. It's one game. I know. I listen. But overreactions are fun after one game. I thought the Celtics were going to lose the series after they lost game one to the Heat. But then last night they kicked their ass.
Yeah.
So that series is probably going to go back and forth. But you're a Mavericks fan.
I am.
Curious about your thoughts on Luka Doncic. Where does he rank right now?
In the NBA right now?
I would say in the NBA right now, and honestly, I feel
with
like the follow-up,
players?
Given that Mavericks fans are, you know, starting to get a little mouthy, I would also just follow up with all-time.
All-time? Okay, currently right now, he's clearly number one. It's not even close.
He's not better than Giannis.
Look, I love Giannis, and I think Giannis is an incredible player, but his skill set is so limited. It's all based on athleticism, and it's only going to last him so much longer.
God forbid you would be so athletic.
That's great for him, but his IQ is not that great.
That's xenophobic.
It's not.
Josh Beard hates
but
the
his
Greeks.
Basketball IQ. Oh, get out of here! The freaking
Greek people can't play basketball.
Freaking Greek player at low basketball IQs. His basketball IQ isn't as high as it should be for a former MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He can't shoot to save his life. He's not that great of a passer. He doesn't facilitate well. He just opens a lot. He can just dunk over literally everybody because he's 45,000 feet long.
At least Giannis is in shape, unlike Luka, who likes to drink
beers
before
the game.
He's in shape
now. Old picture. Prove it. Photoshop.
He's the
Amber Heard defense.
Guaranteed.
It's the Amber Heard defense. Photoshop. It was Photoshop. I'll be real talk for a second. Luka, I really think he is the best player in the NBA right now. I think he's better than Giannis.
Okay.
I think he's better than all these other, especially when you're talking about players like these young up and coming players.
The only person
who I would maybe put above him is Jokic. I think Nikola Jokic is so incredible, and him winning the MVP was the right call.
Notice Josh is just listing white players.
That's not. Don't even. We're not going there.
Big Chet Holmgren fan.
Yeah, no, I hate Chet Holmgren. No, 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 not at all.
Okay,
love Max Strus. Love Max Strus.
So we know
Max
you
Strus.
Think Luke is the best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay, well then all time. I feel like
all
this
time?
Is the natural follow up to the annoying Mavs fan.
This is a little bit more difficult, okay? Because obviously you got to think about LeBron, you got to think about Kobe, you got to think about Jordan. So for me, honestly, I'm going to get killed for this. He's number two.
He's
the
time.
Number two greatest player of all time.
Okay, he's to Michael Jordan.
No, to Dirk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dirk's clearly the number one player of all time.
Josh Beard, it was a great hour right here on Vanessa and Galant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just light him up on the text line, please. 713-780-3776. At Galant says, at Josh Beard Radio on Twitter, at Shawnee Babes. All right. Coming up next. Look, we discussed this a little bit earlier. Dusty Baker's getting a little too crazy with the load management, right? I know it worked for him last night, but seriously, But can we pause giving all these guys rest days early on in the year? We'll talk about that next and more. Don't go anywhere. Vanessa and Galani, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.